listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
We are two guys, one cup.
Yeah, everyone, relax. It is Sunday, the 28th of April. This is Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
My name is Charlie Clawson.
And Charlie, I'm going to propose something.
What?
We don't have to do this podcast anymore if we don't want to.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about football. Football
just stop.
Sucks.
No one would care.
Who does?
Who would care if, like, we just stopped?
No, I mean, no one would care.
No one would care.
But who,
I mean, and by we, I mean our two teams. Both of our teams stopped playing football altogether. Nobody would care.
Yeah, you know what? Like,
no one would miss
amongst my Saints.
In 3 years' time, no one would remember the Saints or the Bulldogs were ever in the competition.
Wait, no one remembers we're in the competition now. Like, no one's, of course, no one's going to remember. Like, the Saints chat I'm in, it's been a very, you know, in the Matrix.
Short episode, by the way, today.
Yeah.
Should say that up the front. It's not to do, we've got all day.
We just don't
short
want to talk
episode.
About it. You know, the Matrix, and Neo wakes up from the Matrix and he's in that gooey pod.
Yeah.
He rips the thing out of his head and then he arrives on the ship and he's like, oh, reality's like just cold and dark and
sucks.
You're going to eat sludge.
It's gross.
That's what, for the Saints fans, that's what it's like. After that Port Adelaide game, I think all that optimism and we made finals last year, it's just like, oh no, we're in a rebuild, aren't we? This is a rebuild. The fact
Absolutely.
That we are playing all these kids and all that kind of stuff. And it's not like the signs haven't been there. We just weren't reading the signs. We weren't reading the tea leaves. Ross was very upfront about what he's been doing.
He's like, this is what I've been telling you the whole time.
The whole fucking time. But we chose
I've
to
never
ignore
said
him.
Anything
last
but
year,
what?
Was the year of exploration.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah, we explored being a fucking finals team. And this year he was like, oh,
if Adam
well,
Uzay is putting a camel on the top to remind people about, like, durability or insurance, Ross's, like, slogan for the last 2 years is, hey.
I don't think we're as good as, we're not as good as people think we are.
Meh.
Well, the funny thing was before the Bulldogs game, and I'd even pick up on this, last week before the Bulldogs thrashed us, the president sent out one of those emails that you only get when your team's in the toilet and they feel like, oh, people are restless. We need to. And that came out and everyone was like, this is a weird letter. And where he's like, we need to exercise a bit of patience and we're aware of where we're going.
It's expectation management.
Yeah. And so they clearly knew what was maybe the way the Saints are training on the track before the Bulldogs game. They're like,
lower your expectations.
And now, like, straight up, like it was the most combative I've seen Ross since he's come back
Loved
in a press
it.
Conference.
This is,
it was
so I'm glad you
funny.
Brought this up because this is the highlight, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no upside for the Bulldogs being bad. We don't get a better Bevo when the Bulldogs are bad. You get a better Bevo when the Bulldogs are good, right? Mm. That's like Bevo, you know, telling his folk stories and coming up with his like lovely, but Ross, this is
prickly.
The comedian Stuart Lee, the brilliant English comedian Stuart Lee, is one of those people that you love to see succeed, but oh my God, there's nothing better than him being in the room on one of those nights where he thinks the audience are his intellectual inferiors and he's going to spend the night, you know, pointing that out to them and toying with them like a cat and a mouse. And that's what it reminded me of watching Ross in that press conference. I was like, oh, this
turning
is what
it back
I want.
On the
this is what I love.
Turning it back on the journalists. What did you say?
Yeah. What did you say, mate?
And just staring at them. And then the four journalists humming a humming a humming a.
All the way. Are you the guys, the local guys who have been saying that Port Adelaide are no good? Like real just classic old school Ross. I thought we did. We went into the green zone.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was the best.
It was brutal.
I love it. I mean, I love that Ross.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't want for you what needs to come before that to get that Ross.
Yeah.
But I like that Ross.
It's funny, in the chat, so like as Saints fans, you develop this kind of sense of humor. It's the only way you can cope. Where the team is historically bad and we have a tendency to implode.
Yeah.
And so we came out of the wreckage and it wasn't even like we played that badly, but it was just clear from that game. It's like, oh, we're actually not that good. And it's going to take some while for us to get good.
I mean, if anything, the message out of that game is we're not that good, but it's amazing that we're managing to be okay considering how not good we are.
Yeah. So out of the wreckage of that, a lot of us in the chat were like, okay, well, here are the positives, you know, like getting games.
What are the positives?
Well,
Yeah. We have
a game plan.
List them.
We have a game plan that holds up. Like okay. I think like Ross has definitely instilled mm-hmm. a game plan. So we are in most games. We have a lot of good youth coming through. Considering our injury list, I think we're being quite competitive. The club seems to be on the same page in terms of the entire organisation. Yeah. With
they all agree the we're no good.
They all agree we're no good. But there weren't a lot of positives, to be honest. Yeah. But there was one person in particular in the chat who I started the group, but then I made everyone an admin, so you can bring in whoever you want. And yes. So this latest edition was not my selection, mm-hmm. but still fun for anyone to join. But he was angry.
Okay.
And very angry to the point where any bit of light we tried to, he would immediately slam down and say, we're no good. We've been shit forever. I'm sick of this. And after about like five or six of posts of him being like, mm-hmm. I was like, look, hey, we get it. You're angry. You're upset.
This is not the place for that.
We're just trying this to. This is meant to be fun
Gallows
for us.
Humor.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an escape.
If I want,
we don't need
if
the
I want
harsh
to hear
reality.
How shit St Kilda is, I'll tune into literally every
other bit of AFL
football
media this week.
That's right. And so he then was like, oh, I understand only one opinion. You can only have one. And it's like, no, look, you can have your fucking
also,
opinion, but you've had your opinion.
This is not the place for it.
Yeah.
Not everywhere has to be a place for your opinion.
Yeah. And so he actually.
You know, there is a place for your opinion. Big fucking footy. Go there.
And I did say, he said, look, I understand. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm just hurt. I've got, and I was like, look,
hurt people,
you're always welcome.
He wants to take it out on the team,
but he left.
He's taken out on you.
He took it out on us. So he took it out specifically on it was pretty much the team.
On everyone.
But I also couldn't understand too that like, how long have you supported this club? And I can understand if you've only supported it. Yeah. Like this is the survival mechanism we have to go in with another disappointing year. Like Saints fans live off dreams and hope and potential. We
That's
don't
what I was trying to say to somebody the other day about the Bulldogs. They're like, we're living through the aberration. The mistake is that people thought there was going to be some sort of sustained success.
We're
right?
back to the original concept of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're back, bro.
Yeah. Finally. We're both shit. The song makes sense again. I mean, how was your coterie meeting?
I didn't go.
All right.
That was actually, that would have been a fine one to go to because it was off the back of the Saints win. So it was a Monday night. That was the Monday night after the festival. We talked that morning. I'd been at the closing night party and then we did the podcast early that morning. And unfortunately, I won't go into the details, but then during the day I had just a shitty personal thing happen. Not the biggest deal in the world, but just enough when you haven't had any sleep that suddenly I was like,
going to somewhere you don't know.
I don't know any of these people. Yeah. My social anxiety is going to be through the roof. I'm going to have to like be on sort of, and it just like it was too much for me in the end. So I just was kind to myself and did not go. But apparently the vibe was
maybe
good.
You let the team down. Maybe. They didn't beat the Dockers.
Because they heard I didn't go.
Because you heard you didn't go.
So reported back. Wouldn't even come.
What's the point in anything?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about, like, I mean, I do think that my attitude to the Bulldogs is, of course, I would love them to be successful and sustain successful and to be a big club, of course, that'd be great if they could be all those sort of things. But I just don't know if it is
on the cards.
On the cards, and I certainly don't think it's going to be on the cards in my like lifetime, right? And so, why would I judge myself by a criteria that is never going to make me happy? That's what this guy in the chat. You've got to stop judging yourself by. You've got to, like, to me. The own, like these people who are like, oh, you know, Bevo's late ruined the place, you know, like he's got to go, the club are no good, whatever. I'm like, the club have never been any good.
Mm.
We've always been terrible. We've never won anything. He came along and we've had like an aberration. We've had success. He brought us that. He and, you know, some players, but like he, you know, was the guy in charge when that happened. And then we'll probably just go back to being shit again, right?
Yeah.
Like we fluked one. Let's be completely honest about the Bulldogs. We fluked one grand final and then in a weird year we managed to fluke a final series again.
I mean, I think that's right because one of the things he said is like good teams don't lose matches like this. Good teams. And I said to him, but we're not a good team.
We're not a good team either.
So we have to look at what the positives of what we are.
I don't think we've ever been a good team.
So
I don't know enough about history to know if in 1954 we were a good team. But like the Bulldogs, like, weren't the best team in the competition in 2016. I mean, they were the best team in the finals. You know, they won the system that is in place. But this idea that somehow, you know, we're a club that, yeah, like good clubs, that, yeah, good clubs don't do this.
But why is it that, like, I understand money being one thing, yeah, but like Geelong and Sydney and stuff, this kind of sustained success, like how is that built? Geelong went through a period in the 90s and even the early 2000s where they just were like getting close and just not getting there. But is it just the size of the club and the fact that they owned that portion of Victoria that they were able to stabilize and then turn it around?
I also think that they...
There's too many clubs in Victoria.
I mean, that of course, that is the truth. But I think they are a club and region gives you this ability to define yourself. But I think in an area of, I was talking about this in relation to the comedy festival to somebody where I said the age of the generalist seems to be gone in the idea that you would go to somebody and they'd talk about a range of things in a range of ways. You know, that used to be what people wanted from a comedy night. But now they're like, I want ramen. I'm going to go and see ramen. You know, they feel like something specific and then they want to see the best person at doing that specific thing. And that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's lessons to be learned, particularly in the AFL, in product differentiation, right? Like, I think it's a dumb game for St Kilda or Western Bulldogs to be trying to compete in the game of being a big club. There are too many big clubs already. Let the big clubs play the big club race. Geelong doesn't play the big club race, right? Geelong plays this sort of...
They're their own...
Well, they're kind of like...
They're on their own.
Yeah, but they kind of give you all the advantages of the big club.
Yeah.
You know, home games, big following, being a celebrity, but without the hassle of the big city. And then you get somebody like, you know, I mean, we might be going to talk about him, but that game that fucking... do you remember when we thought that Jeremy Cameron was the dumbest...
Yeah.
Most boring private school guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out he is just a Yahoo.
Yeah.
A cow hugging, a cow tipping, putting your medal
putting
on
a GoPro on a football
like,
and
coming
it,
out of your, like, coming out of your surgery and doing podcasts.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Jeremy Cameron because I did put him on the run sheet. So,
mate, he is.
Okay. Kicked his 600th goal plus in this game. 10 times leading goal kicker for his two clubs. Premiership medal, 3-time All Australian. Is he a future Hall of Famer?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I would have said already maybe even, but like certainly with what's still to come in his career because there's no signs of him slowing down.
From his Wikipedia page, we know, you know one of his nicknames?
Jeremy Cameron. Jezza.
Jezza. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two nicknames. Well, he's got one nickname and it that has a variable, so he's got another nickname.
Okay.
It's a... a colloquialism for a cigarette.
Dart.
Jeremy dart Cameron. Or the darty.
The darty.
A court now, I feel like Jeremy Cameron's updated.
He's on Wikipedia. Yeah. Which, by like the way, I absolutely would not put past him and would admire.
Yeah. Jezza, darty, or the dart are his nicknames.
All right.
Do you reckon that's to do with kicking?
The dart. Yeah, the dart. Maybe.
Kicks a dart. I mean, he was awesome in that game. Two great games from this weekend. The Anzac Day, which we'll get to. But that Blues-Cats game.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it because Carlton got so close and it didn't get across the line.
Yeah.
But just in terms of, like, spectacle, like, this is the thing that really, in a real weekend of soul-searching for me in terms of my footy fandom. And the other thing I'll say about, before we leave the Saints, is that I'm actually okay with it. This is a year where I'm not going to get hung up on the results or anything like that. Like I was sort of saying to this guy who was getting so angry, I said, look, I support this club because you know, it's traditional or whatever, but it keeps me engaged in the competition as a whole. And I love
I
love the sport. I love
and I'm not going to let my team doing badly
they're not going to ruin
take
me
away
enjoy
my
even
love of
watching
football.
The Cats and the Blues play an epic encounter on the MCG in front of 80,000 people. I still will support my club, but this is my...
Supporting my club is the price of entry for me to actually enjoy AFL.
Exactly. It just
by
keeps
watching
me,
other teams play.
It keeps me plugged in because it's like you stop watching a soap opera for a you forget. Yeah. But if there's a character you like, you're like, oh, what's Braxton Home and Away up to? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
All right.
That's going to get me into the show and then I can follow the other storylines.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. And so that's what the Saints do for me. But it was such an entertaining contest, which felt like it could have gone like either way. And
such a good game.
I just love this Carlton. I hate Carlton supporters, but I just love this Carlton team.
They're so good.
They're so good to watch.
They don't give up. They've got so many talented players, like in every position on the ground.
And Zach Williams, like Zach Williams and Charlie Kerner, like 2 years ago, you would have thought, oh, they've just got two lemons there. Those guys will never get their body right.
Or they're going to be top 20 players in the AFL.
Yeah, just so good. And then, and Charlie Cameron is just so good because it's like, oh, he hasn't touched the ball for two. Oh, here it comes.
Kerner.
No, it's just kicked Charlie three goals. Kerner. Oh, what did I call him?
Cameron.
Oh, yeah. Good bloke, that Charlie Cameron. But Charlie
Kerner. Both good blokes, though.
Yeah, both good blokes.
Both good blokes.
But
both
the way...
But Harry Mackay looks like a different footballer.
Yeah. Until he kicks a goal.
I mean, there's still a bit of that. Well, his confidence is better.
It was his first game.
His first one, he had a tough one, but he still looked really great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it. Jared Waitley was right. Graham Myers is a better player than Lionel Messi.
Retract that statement, Will.
But how, like, isn't it amazing that Graham Myers, who kind of when he first came onto the scene, seemed such an unconventional AFL footballer, that you're always like, oh, he's always just going to be like a quirky sort of Geelong type. But he's just turned into like an all-Australian contending small forward. He's like an incredible footballer now. It's a pity that Dangerfield hurt his hamstring because he was flying too.
Yeah, great first half.
Yeah.
That was a great entertaining game. But the match of the round was definitely Anzac Day. Now, I didn't get to see this live. I know you did.
Yeah,
but I did. Watching it on replay, like what a tight. I wish I had seen it live because it was one of those games where you just had no idea what was going to happen next.
Well, it was funny. I was catching up with it. So last week in Melbourne, I stayed around a week after the comedy festival because it was just a bunch of people that I, you know, and appointments and bits and bobs that I just kind of pushed. I was like, I'll do that next week. And so on that day, I was catching up with a friend and they, like, not a big footy head, you know, knew that there was a game on, but like didn't. And so we were kind of having a chat, talking about life, whatever. And they were like, oh, do you want to, you know, check the footy, or you can have the footy on in the background or whatever it might be. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'll just,
I'll be polite. I don't want to
yeah. And so I just put it on the back because we could hear, because I was staying in Richmond. So we could actually hear the game from where we were, like, you know, and seeing the planes fly over and the whole thing. So I was like, you know what? I'll just put it on silent in the background. And you know, when you just realize that you're watching, like listening less and less to the person and you're watching more and more of the game. And then I kept joking. I was like, I'm so sorry, but I just think this is probably one of the greatest, like, Anzac Day games in the history of Anzac Day football. I've said this the first time, I reckon about halfway through the first quarter. I've just gone, if they come back from it, this is going to be one of the greatest games in the history of, like, and then as it kept going on, I kept like I was kind of saying it as a joke, but then suddenly I was like, oh, hang on. I don't know what's happened, but I feel like I've willed this into being one of the greatest games in, so I ended up watching probably three quarters of it live, honestly.
It was unbelievable. And like just it has everything. Like if you were to show a game to someone who'd never watched before, this is the game to show them.
Have a look at that.
Because it's got the screamer.
Jamie Ellum, it is.
Goal kicking, Josh Dacos' goal
incredible.
On the run. Just everything about
the
it.
The drama
was just,
of, I mean, I was even trying to explain that.
Sheed's in the crowd, doing that.
I was trying to explain, like, you know when you're like trying to get your friend interested in what's going on by trying to like go, this is this person and they're like this. This is this person and they're like this. And this thing I said early on about, I said, this, that's Brody Majacek. I said, he's one of these guys that, like, I really wish well for. He tries really hard. And I bet today he'll do something really spectacular and then he'll kick the ball into his own face. And he pretty much did both of those things. Right? I was like, everyone was them.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those games where you're like, could everyone just go out there
to be your full capacity? Yeah. Stringer kicking it from the boundary line.
I mean, Stringer, like, playing in the middle. It was such a great game of football.
1 year contracts were designed for Jake Stringer. 100%, right? Like, he's a player who needs a carrot dangled in front of him.
I think week to week. I think next season, should go weekly rolling contracts. He might win the Brownlow.
Let's talk a little bit about the Lions. I'm rushing through this because I want to get to the mailbag because we've had some correspondence from our Frio listeners about the Frio West Coast rivalry. It's worth talking
about.
All
right, what else we got?
Well, we can knock off Tigers and Demons. Not a great
Tigers
game.
Are no good. Demons were awful, but won.
Yeah, and a very ugly game to watch. Crows and North.
North, this is going to be a tough year for North. I had hopes, but it's going to be a
tough
year.
What did he think was going on, though? They must have known that Ben Mackay was going to leave. And they're like, we'll be right. Did they not think they should try and get someone else in to replace the guy who everyone else knew was going to leave?
How are you, though, if you're Ben Mackay and, like, you're finally playing at a big club and then the biggest moment you've had at that club so far is standing underneath.
Having a 5'10"
standing
in your head.
For all we know, Ben Mackay was having marks like that taken on him every week, but nobody was watching North Melbourne games.
What else we got? So, then GWS versus the Lions.
Oh, my God.
Little Darcy
Did
Jones.
Did you watch?
What? How adorable. I wanted Darcy Jones. How much for a Darcy Jones?
Yeah.
The little one. How much for
just the little one.
He's so
just the
cute.
Run. They've got so many little ones, though. They've got a little mosquito fleet.
Nothing, even the loss last week, nothing has deterred me from. They are the best team to watch.
Second half when they just put the foot down was
amazing.
Incredible.
But they're so, but it's almost, I feel like they play the game differently.
Yeah.
It's that surge.
Better
that
than
kind
everybody
of,
else.
That tsunami. Yeah, but it's.
Yeah, it is that high, it is the.
How do they
You
find
feel
so much
like
space?
It's the ultimate in that they are more skilled, they are faster, they are blah, blah, blah. And now.
And how do you defend that?
Yeah.
Because they'll push right up into their back line.
Because everyone's really good.
Win the contest and then sprint back and they are so much faster
they're
and more
all
skillful.
Faster just, and more skillful
they'll
and
just
fitter and.
Pick holes all through you. It's like. I just love watching them play.
Yeah. We are two guys, one car.
Let's get to the mailbag because there's quite a bit of correspondence, and I think that this is our storyline for this year. Is what's happening in the West.
Congratulations, Fremantle, by the way.
On beating the Bulldogs. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of Bulldogs players.
Nat Fyfe. I enjoyed seeing Nat Fyfe play so well. I wish it wasn't against us, but.
And it was good to see Nat back in
form.
Yeah,
it was.
You just hope that they preserve that banged up body because he's not going to be doing that every week.
No.
Okay, here we go. So we want to hear some Freo supporters. This is from Kate. She says, I heard you call out for Docker's response.
Yes.
I switched allegiances from Eagles to the Dockers 12 years ago because of my boyfriend, now husband, is an OG member and lives and breathes them. It was a path of least resistance, to be honest. A decade of more of lows than highs and proudly purple wearing entitles me to a bit of an opinion on the topic, I feel, but I also married deep into Freo territory whilst growing up a West Coast supporter.
Okay.
It's a real Romeo and Juliet situation. Mm-hmm. If true, there are a heap of Docker fans who despise the Eagles. They will cite the incredible allowances and the legs up the AFL offered West Coast when joining the league, which they were not offered a decade later. They'll cite the battle of establishing themselves with less money, less fans, and a hostile environment imposed by a bully big brother who can't go to work after a derby loss for fear of facing an Eagles supporter. And I'm serious when I say this. That's the second time that's been mentioned.
It does,
workplace
harassment. That does feel like
seems
that's
like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And despite some of my friends choosing to have their second team as anyone playing the Eagles, we ultimately view those kinds of fans as nuffies and a bit embarrassing.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we're broken.
Yep.
Oh, fuck, you're talking to this, preaching to the choir. We've only flown close to the sun a couple of times and been completely burnt. We lose the unlosable. We are shown glimmers of hope and then decide to play bad teams into form. And we rhyme Rock'em with Bottom in our theme song without fully appreciating
that's
the
thing that I don't like the most.
Of making rock bottom connotation.
I don't like Rock'em and Bottom.
How's it go? Can you give me the lyrics?
No.
Okay.
Freo.
Way to go.
Way to go.
We are the Freo.
Hit him in the high and the down and the below. We'll
hit him in the rocks and the bottom. The hate from the West Coast is like kicking an abandoned puppy. Sure, we might have been a little too gleeful in 2019, 2021 during a period of dominance, but why not let the glow of your enriched trophy cabinet warm you while we enjoy that short time in the sun? In short, the rivalry runs deep. We'd love to see a return of the demolition derby, but ultimately true Western Australians are aligned in their hatred and disgust of the Victorian bias before anything
That's
else.
That's right.
So that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, that was one Freo supporter. This is from Alex. I appreciate you putting the call out for more Freo perspectives. You may recall I sent Will a beanie and a swan draft long neck a few years ago when Flag Mantle was a viable prospect.
Oh, I do remember that.
As a long-suffering Freo supporter growing up in Perth and spending the last decade or so in Melbourne, I'd like to think I have a unique perspective on things. What we're finding out is that Freo fans think that they have a unique perspective.
I mean, I think everyone thinks they have a unique perspective on things. Really?
Growing up with West Coast very much being the older brother, having all the historical success in the 90s and again in the mid-2000s, I always felt as though we were living in their shadow, forever being compared to them. Making the grand final in 2013 still didn't garner any respect, so much so that no matter how bad a season we were having, beating West Coast in the derby would often be the only glimmer of solace to take away from the season. I was recently reminded that in West Coast back-to-back grand final appearances, we beat them both years in the Derby. And if, there's a big if here, Sydney hadn't won that qualifying final in Perth, it could have been a Western Derby prelim, mm-hmm. which I dare say could have completely changed the course of things. Look up the London Western Derby in 2005 for more filler if needed. We will not be doing that. It's a short episode. Generally speaking, whenever I tell someone over here that I support the Dockers, it's usually met with neutrality and then days gone by possibly indifference yeah. until 2013.
It's like saying you're Canadian.
Yeah. Oh. That's the response. Until 2013 when the national supporter base skyrocketed for that one day in September. I do remember that. We went to that game together.
Yeah, we did.
And it was so purple. It was really, really surprising. It almost felt like it was 50-50.
Who Hawthorn. Did they play?
Hawthorn.
Hawthorn, yeah, that's right.
I can't speak for the wider fan base, but I only hold resentment for one team, and that is the Eagles. The most recent derby stung that so much more, and the prospect of them being relevant again feels far too soon given their recent history of success. I've always felt a kind of kinship with the Saints and the Doggies, no doubt due to the ongoing disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be it. The one, what is it that we have in common? Oh, yeah, our lack of success, our general lack of success.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we started a podcast based on this exact thing. I have a theory on this involving my girlfriend's dad, who is a mad Saints supporter, but I'll get to that another day. I'm still hopeful we'll bag a cup before the Eagles next do, and maybe this will reduce my hatred for them. But
I mean, is there a chance that we could...
Three guys, two cups.
That's it. We do a little update. Get a Fremantle supporter involved.
All right. Last from the Freo supporters.
Yes.
I'm a birthplace Freo fan, and maybe I can give you my own unique perspective.
Great.
On how the fans see each other. Mm-hmm. I immigrated to Australia some 20 years ago and I chose Freo for two big reasons. First was that I wanted to support a local club and get in on the ground floor pre-flag.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, it's true. But the second and singularly most important reason has been that the Eagles, they're just not cool.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles are like John Bon Jovi to Freo's Nirvana. Mm-hmm. They are John Farnham to the Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
Sure, they are the third most successful in the modern AFL era, with four flags, a bigger, more exclusive, more expensive membership, and a waiting list for everything from members to sponsors, chomping at the bit to jump on that gravy train. All these things are true in spades, and no one can take that away from them. God bless them and their hiked-up, cotton, lightly, whitey-tidy Y-fronts. But... Despite being formed in the 80s, they are somehow the AFL equivalent of the baby boomer landlords lecturing the tenants on their fourth investment property about how they had it hard and how young people these days just don't understand what hard work is.
This is good.
If you weren't so busy eating smashed avocado on toast and injecting marijuana, then maybe you could also have a flag of your own.
I like this.
They are a vocal lot, and I'm sure you've noticed that the male responses have been from Eagles fans squawking away, decreeing from the highest treetops how balanced and fair they are, and holding no ill will towards their wayward and disappointing younger sibling.
Wow.
They are in the Step Brothers, you know, what's his name, plays the older brother, who's just like a douchebag. Like,
yes.
That's who the Eagles are.
This is good writing, by the way, also.
During games, alternating between either clapping politely for every disposal or roundly booing anyone not in the golden blue, often met with the eye rolls of an okay mate or maybe might draw out an occasional snide teen angsty sledge where they don't understand a reference but know enough that they should be offended by it. I don't know. Seeing them all the way up there on that high horse all the time probably does put a chip on my shoulder. But you know what? I'd much rather be at the pub sitting in my little Shetland pony sharing a knowing nod with all the Saints and Bullies fans who also know the struggle and understand. Cheers to the struggle. P.S.
Yeah.
I reserve the right to change my opinion about the struggle if Fremantle dynasty is established, in which case, fuck you guys.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're number one. Well, look, Will did win a premiership, but now he's down in the muck with me.
And I never felt we're number one.
No.
I never even had that moment of, nah.
I really didn't, which is sad. I just want to read one more.
Okay.
And we'll definitely get out of here because, as you recall, when we started this, Port Adelaide were brought up as a villain for West Coast Eagles, more than Collingwood.
Yes.
So this is from a Port Adelaide, Port fan in WA, thesis in dissertation.
Fuck Ken Hinckley.
Dear Charlie and Will, long-time listener, first-time ranter, welcome to my thesis dissertation.
Great.
It's my background.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is a unique perspective?
No, it's a dissertation. Okay. Dissertation. It's a well-thought-out analysis of this conflict. Okay, my background. I was born and raised in South Australia. I've lived in WA the past 30 years. I've also lived in Brisbane for 3 years and Sydney for a year.
You know what I'm smelling, though?
What?
A unique perspective.
A unique perspective. Okay, so my rebuttal to the original email sent in from Scotty, previous contributor presents one person's opinion, not a general view of my experience. As a Port supporter in Perth, I've been well treated, almost like an exotic specimen.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Port-West Coast rivalry. Some close and controversial finishes over the years, especially in a couple of finals. Port have a good record in Perth, so a home win is not guaranteed, might make them nervous. The only team to win more... We read this out last week. Sorry, we have read this out. I've read the wrong Port one. I got another Port one. I apologise, everyone listening. We read that out last week.
Oh, my God.
Port, watching the Tigers-D's game on Wednesday on the 24th of April, I think I figured out why the AFL... I'm not going to read that. As a Port fan, I've been mildly surprised to hear that West Coast supporters have deigned to notice us, much less hate us. Not that some of them... reasons don't make sense now that they mention them. For our part, it does feel like we spend so much of our time and energy waiting for the Crows to get theirs that the other 16 teams all blur together one, even Collingwood.
It's not like we can... This is your same in-town rivalry.
That's right. It's not like we can throw stones about our own fans having a bad reputation, and we're not the cashed-up kind of bogans. Stones are all we can afford to throw. And we'll admit in our heart of hearts it would be just as stubborn about the Magpies' nickname and colours if that particular, say, situation was reversed.
Interesting.
So that makes some sense to me. I know I said there's the last one, but there is actually an actual fine one.
Okay.
Last one we need to read out, which all was... Right.
Charlie's
from
on his
Scotty.
Phone.
Sorry, I'm on my phone.
It's on his phone. He's got his glasses on, but we're old men. We can't see.
I can't see anything. Sorry, I will find this.
Yeah.
So Scotty, who sent in the original email.
Now, this is Scotty who started this all in the first place.
Yes, Scotty who started
Scotty's
this all
back.
In the first place.
Okay, interesting. Well, this is going to be very interesting. God. I mean, it would be terrible if you can't find this, because this is really going to be a great conclusion to this, like... shorter episode, but people are like, I don't mind it's a shorter episode because we've got this great Scotty thing at the end that completes this arc that we've been following over the last few weeks. We've had so much debate. Then Scotty's come back. He's going to wrap it all up really neatly.
Basically, Scotty wrote in. I can't find the email. I don't know where I put it. I don't know what folder I put it in. I can tell you, but just give me one. You can cut this, can't you, right?
I'm not going to cut it.
No.
I'm not going to cut any of it. Amy's not going to cut any of it either.
Amy, you're going to cut this.
In. It's already a short episode. We can't cut content out of the episode. We've got to pad it out. Amy, I would suggest what you should do is loop this.
No.
So that it feels like Charlie's... Yeah. Say it goes for an hour.
Fuck
and
off.
It's just like Charlie...
And so the episode goes for an hour.
For like the last 45 minutes of the podcast.
Where is it?
Yeah, just drop that in occasionally. Charlie,
I must have deleted
it
or something.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, give us the gist.
I'll tell you exactly what it was.
You can't tell me exactly because you can't find it.
Who everyone's attacked for his opinions, wrote in and apologised and said, it's the last time I'll write into a podcast when I've been coming down off mushrooms.
Okay. Interesting. So
probably wasn't worth the wait.
We were on a wild goose chase the entire time. There was nothing.
There was no rival. Well, I mean,
Scotty imagined there was a rivalry in his head. He was like, what if they hated each other? I should write to a football podcast.
If you want to write into us, you can find us on social media, Two Guys, One Cup AFL.
Scotty is out this week with hamstring awareness, so we just need to...
I was going to say on Instagram and Twitter, but we're not. The new address for Everyone Relax for Two Guys, One Cup will be?
Everyone Relax. Everyone
To be advised. Oh, geez, this fucking episode has ended in a real car crash.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who cares? Our team's playing shit. It's you're lucky you even get an episode. We're done.
We're
going to play on, not 15.
We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years. That shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched. We're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one club.